Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. As you can see, we back at the crib on the plush leathers. Feels good to be back home after the trip to DC. Got a special guest today, McDonald's All-American. Took his talents to UNC, where he led them to a national championship in 2005. Solid NBA career.
A little bit.
A little premature, in my opinion. We're going to get into that. But balled overseas, Big 3 won a chip with an MVP over there, too, as
absolutely,
well, right?
Absolutely.
We got the legend, Rashad McCants, in the building.
Appreciate it.
Before we get to the interview, we got to just start with the fit. You came in here decked out with the crown, with the Kobe jacket, with the matching Kobe shoes. We're going to do it. We're going to really let y'all see.
Oh, man.
This is what makes him legendary, bro. You always going to remember him.
I'm telling you.
Where you get the crown at? I got to ask first, though.
It's a story, man. It's a good story. We was in Vegas after the Big 3 championship, right?
Okay.
And me and my homeboy, we was at the Dre's nightclub. Somebody left one of those little Party City crowns in the booth, right? And I just kind of picked it up. I put it on. Walking through the casino, everybody's saying something. This is your birthday, all that. And I'm like, you know, whatever. Got in the Uber, asked the Uber driver, what if I had a real one like this? Would I look crazy? She's like, no, you actually look cool. Man, I looked them shit so right then and there, man. And I ordered one, and I put it on, man, and then it fit. It fit my soul, man. It fit everything about me, man. So it's like, I got a red, and ain't nobody else doing it. Can't nobody else pull it off. So I'm like, let me do it.
You're right, because no one, like that's the best part about you. Like, you just have this whole different, it's a whole different demeanor.
Yeah.
That nobody, it's just, like, you know, like when you see someone doing something and you're like, they only have the swag to do it. Everybody else will look goofy.
And I know people want to say something about it, but then again, it's me. Like, for years, it's been like against the grain. I always been against the grain. But like to wear the crown after winning the championship undefeated, you know what I'm saying? Winning, you know, hitting the game winner, it was only fitting. It was like, until y'all knock me off the crown, you know what I'm saying? It's mine. Yeah. I'm gonna wear it. I'm gonna stir some shit up. You know what I'm saying? I like doing that
too. You came in with the mask too, right? See, that's what it. That's the only reason. Like back then, the Big 3 started off. Like when you was coming with the mask, I was like, that's. Damn, why did I not think of that, man? I would have came into the season with a mask on, bro.
At the point then, it was like, we already won, so it wasn't really no crazy motivation to go like back to back or nothing like that. I wanted everybody to feel what it felt like to like kind of revitalize that playing spirit, win something, you know, be about something. So the second year for me was about entertaining, bringing more fans in, bringing guys like you and Nate and them to want to play in it. So it was like, we have to give some type of entertainment value. And that was like, all right, I'm gonna wear the mask. We could promote ourselves any way we want to on this platform. I wanted more guys to understand that, like, you don't have to be so dry, you know what I'm saying? Be a character, come out, create some type of brand for yourself. And I think I did that when I was there, when I kind of amplified who could come in and watch us play, who was interested. Now everybody playing harder, because it's an insult if I come out here with a mask on. Like, you know, Nate was insulted, you know? But I came out here to insult you, you know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna wear the crown every single game in the lobby while I'm eating. You're gonna be reminded every time that you can't beat me until you beat me, right? So I like to stir the pot.
Any thoughts about going full, coming to America, get the little flower girls with you to drop the rose petals on your joint wherever you are?
I'm waiting on that.
Okay.
We gotta get leveling up. You know what I'm saying? We gotta start somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Come up here, kick it with Gil. Hopefully the flower girls was watching. You feel me?
So, I mean, we were gonna have the GOAT debate. I mean, I think it's pretty evident who you rocking with. So I wanna ask you, when you look at this GOAT conversation, is there any player currently who even has a chance or potential to get to that level, get into that debate?
Man, oh hell yeah.
Who you think?
Yeah, Ja,
100%. Ooh, okay.
Luka. You gotta kinda say Giannis just because of the size. It ain't so much the skill set, it's kinda like where the game has evolved to. So he's gonna be one of those guys. You got Durant, who always gonna be there, but I like to break the game down more than when you talk about GOATs. People ask me, who's the hardest person you ever had to guard?
Yeah.
I say Gilbert Arenas. And they say, Really? And I'm like, he's a GOAT. And my, and when I look at GOATs, it's people who you could not stop. They had to stop themselves. AI, Tracy, Vince, like the people who were just dominant in their skill set, didn't have to really go in there and hone their skills and be in the gym, just show up like Booby Miles. You know what I'm saying? Those were GOATs to me. These are guys who could go out there and try anything and it looked good, you know, and still play the game and know the game. So my GOATs are always going to be different when it comes to that, like, you know, the Kobe's, the Gilberts, the Paul Pierce's, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon's, you know, people who got the skill set to back up the talk.
So you know what's so funny? When you look at media picks versus player picks, always different, right? Because the players are the ones that's actually guarding each other. So when you hear people say different names, the people look at stats and be like, those stats ain't what what you need to be looking at. It's like how you have to guard this person, how we had to prepare for this person. So I remember, you remember that year, not taking anything away from Curry's first MVP. Players voted James Harden, right? So they said because James Harden was actually harder to guard that year, plus Dwight Howard was done, he had to carry the team and they were still second in the West with nobody on his team. That's the MVP. Yep. But they gave it to Curry, who had like five games, he was five games better. But it was one of those things where if you look at the players versus the media, it's totally different.
Man, I love that conversation because you get a lot of the loud mouths that don't play that side with the stat side because you don't know how hard it is to guard a Gilbert. You don't know how hard it is to guard a Luka or a Ja by yourself on the island. And that's why I say when we were playing, the schemes that were set, the counters that had to be measured, it was harder to guard guys because we were playing team ball, but also depending on our best defender. And when you're a good offensive player, you look through everybody. So it ain't even like, you're not even thinking of no scheme. You're thinking, where am I going to get my shot? And so you look at the game today, and it's like, it's more open. Guys can do what they want to do and go where they want to go. They don't know how to defend it because it's a coach's league still. But it's turning and becoming a player's league where the players can open up the floor. The big men can now shoot threes. The guards need to start posting up more because it'll open their games up. But it's where the players can dictate where they want the one-on-one and the ISO to be. And now you need players coaching those players. Coaches can't coach those because it's a dinosaur game.
Yeah. People don't really, you need these, and it's there's no offense against some of these older coaches.
We hated to play ball like that. Think about it.
Like it's a clash right now because we clashed.
Yes.
Against those same coaches.
We didn't want to do that, we want to hoop.
So now you have hoopers in the league now. You got to remember, when you're talking about when we played, that four man and that three man was usually designed for damn near defense.
Yes, yes.
You gotta remember, your Bruce Bowens, was it Avery, Ivory, the guard from Atlanta? Or Roy Ivory.
Royale
they put him in for 4 or 5 minutes, right? You can't do that in today's game. Those Bruce Bowens are, like they try.
Rajah Bells.
Those old school coaches are trying it and you wonder why your player, 35 minutes, 4 points, getting mollywopped. You're off, because the person he's guarding is trying to go for 30. Man. So you got 30 versus this four.
Man.
Right, and he played great defense, right? So it's like you need the generation that just left to go back and coach these kids.
Yep.
But if you look at all the players' coaches, the Willie Greens and all of them, they're succeeding because they understand this game. Them older coaches, y'all are out. It's outdated. It's like even like somebody like who was a great coach, was it Avery Johnson?
Yeah.
It's like having him coach right now. Like that.
Dwayne Casey.
Like,
Detroit. So old ass out of here.
The game has moved 2 decades from them, but they're still
They're holding the players back. Right. The ones that are need to be thriving should be playing fast-paced ball or being held back because they're still trying to play college structured ball, mm-hmm. where you run and run a play. And like we already see, there's a rift between Jason Kidd and Luka because Jason Kidd is still a fossilized coach, but he's a player, mm-hmm. but he knows that Luka holds the ball too much, mm-hmm. right? He's not doing enough passing to get guys open. Well, he has to pass because he ain't open, mm-hmm. right? And so you look at these other coaches who are fossilized and they're forcing this stagnant movement, guards be in the corners. Y'all do the one-on-one pick and roll until somebody switch off. Then we're going to get a random shot, and we're going to get back on defense. Like, that's weak. But the teams that you see, they're exciting. They're moving the ball. They're shooting the ball fast. They're just going. They're playing like we play in the summertime.
Yep.
And that's the game. That's the kind of game we grew up playing anyway.
Well, so have you ever seen Ben Simmons in the summer?
Going crazy.
What?
Going crazy.
See, when I defend him, I'm like, yo, do y'all understand how good this man is when he's free?
Yep. He actually shoots jumpers.
On his back, telling him what to do.
He shoots jumpers. That shit be going in. You be like, Ben, you got that?
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, yo, the reason we see greatness, like I remember we watch summer basketball, right? We watch who has it. Like, there's some superstars that's scared of what we call mediocre players in the NBA. NBA consider mediocre, a superstar in today's game will be scared of this mediocre player at UCLA.
100%. For
sure. When there's no coaching, restraints and restraints on him. Like, yeah, these dudes play free.
You would never know he's a killer.
You would never know.
But that was even like we were coming up. I'm sure we all know dudes who could have went to the league and for whatever it may be, they couldn't just hang in a coach's system or deal with that bullshit mm-hmm. that comes with it. I think that's what a lot of people who don't understand, like that side of it. When you see dudes playing free in the summer and getting to do whatever they want, now you get on a team and coach is like, you can't do that shit. You can't do that.
What are you not seeing? That's what are you not, if this is what he's doing mm-hmm. and when he's with you, this is how he plays, that's your issue, coach.
Yes. Yes.
If he's a 99 in this type of system,
come on,
and he's a 64 in yours,
come on, man.
What are you doing?
Come on. James Wiseman? How the hell is James Wiseman in the G League when he could be out here playing 99, running up and down with Steph Curry?
A Warriors question. I'm sure Warriors
it was the funniest.
How a coach can hide a player. Because, like you said, if you're a bad coach, he's 99 playing out here against the top mm-hmm. guys. Like, it's All-Star weekend at UCLA every summer. It's like, if you thrive in there, because guys ain't just letting you, like, hoop. Like, it's deep. They playing. Rico not going to let you out here just be out here.
Yeah.
Man, you playing. And if you can thrive at UCLA, we know you're going to be an All-Star. You next up. We like, oh, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him.
But, and the run didn't always used to be like that, and that's what I really credit Rico for. He was my college teammate at UCLA, but he really brought some organization to it. And there got a point where it got sloppy. Dudes were just showing up to get a sweat, stop giving a But now he has these dudes locked in, and literally they know they got the cameras in there. Now if you get embarrassed, it's going on the internet.
Everyone sees it.
It's going on the internet.
But there's also things like this. A great coach might be a great guard coach.
Yeah.
Horrible big man coach.
Absolutely.
Great big man coach, horrible guard coach. Great wing coach. You know, so it's people don't think about that. Like, you have to look at what type of a system a player, a coach runs to understand. Like, Golden State, we see 1, 2, 3, they're goats. So. Draymond Green finds his way to be great, but they've never been great at the 4-5. In a sense where their 4-5 has never been a dominant position where we're gonna get 20 points, 15 points out of this. No, it's made for them that 1-2-3.
Yep.
That 1-2, y'all are getting that baby. You know what I mean? But that's some offenses now.
I like those offenses compared to the ones that stagnate and hold the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we so used to seeing the game being played the right way. Mm-hmm. We say play the game the right way. But then we want to see an evolution of the game too, mm-hmm. but keep the discipline.
Yep.
Keep the discipline. You're going to be a Chuck, you got to make them shots. If you're going to be a Chuck, right? But if you're not, you got to show us you know the game.
Mm-hmm.
Show us you could play the game and not be selfish, but break the offense and make something happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We like those. I call them the master ballers. Like, you know, in game crunch time, you a gamer, mm-hmm. a master baller. Gil got it.
Yep.
We
yep.
know he gonna do something yeah. to either get his shot off or get somebody open. That's a gamer, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And
the last 5 minutes.
We mistake a lot of like credit to certain guys for what they do based on stats instead of being a player, a hooper, and a gamer.
So we talk about bigs now, being able to handle and do these things. Obviously, I don't know if you've seen Wimby ball at all. Mm-hmm. What do you think his ceiling can be in the NBA? I know everybody's super excited, but for actual hoopers that understand this game and seeing what he's doing, how do you think that's going to translate into the NBA game?
If we just watch Bobo, we'll be able to see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
I think Bobo is one of the greatest that I've ever seen at that size and seeing him since high school. So to see another one of him, that's a little bit smoother, mm-hmm. can shoot that thing a little bit more, you know, automatic.
Yeah.
That's scary, scary hours. They're creating players somewhere.
You know the fun thing about Bobo is, as impressive as he is, we can't be impressed because we already knew that.
Yep.
Some of us did.
No.
But a lot of people were,
since high school.
Of people were hating on Bobo.
They were hating on Bobo.
I'm trying to figure out what were they watching?
It was no. No one's ever questioned his game. Never. It was him. You gotta remember, you're sitting what, 7'2", 7'3"?
Lazy as hell.
I don't need to work out.
Cool, I'm man. Cool.
And that's what ended up happening. So you're talking about a kid who was literally supposed to be top five.
Man. Better than everybody.
He was
he had the foot injury at Oregon that made him drop to the second round.
But there's no way he should have been a second round pick.
It's Bobo.
But so they just used it.
Foot or not.
They just used his demeanor towards the process, yep. right? The process of, I don't need to work out for you guys. That's what I was hearing he was doing a lot. He didn't want to work out for certain groups. He didn't want to practice. He didn't want to train. So now watching him, I think what happened was, that heat on his ass. And
going to the D League to do that. He's down there like, man, they not even looking at me. I still can't come up there.
Yeah.
Then he get with the Orlando Magic with Pablo. Boy, he look good out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he do.
I mean, it's refreshing to see because a lot of people like ourselves were big on Bobo, kind of got that hate. Now a lot of people are shutting up, changing their tune, deleting a lot of tweets I'm seeing in real life happening. Wow. I used to roll with Bobo. Oh, are you crazy? They're just like, no, man, I'm looking at this dude, what he's mm-hmm. doing at 7'2". And to your point, he may not the screamer, yeller, whatever. He may not look like he care, mm-hmm. but shit, when I see him push that ball up the court and shoot threes and do all that other shit, like, this man cares.
Now it makes us wonder. Denver.
I was just thinking of that.
now him, Jokic, MP.
What was y'all thinking?
And Murray.
What? Huh? Y'all gave him away. Sure. You gave Bobo.
I mean, you just look at that squad.
I guess sometimes when kids come in so young, you know, we have that type of league where you have 2 to 3 years to show me something. If you don't show me something, then I want to get rid of you. Not knowing that maybe that fourth year he needed that to turn it over.
This is what we were talking about earlier. Coaches league, players league. Players league, not going to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. Bobo play right away. Why did we get him in the first round? Why did we make sure we got him for a reason? Mm-hmm. And if he's good enough to go out there and showcase his skill and play, let him play.
Yeah.
A player's gonna know that. Yeah. We're not on the stubborn ass, well, I'm coach, I don't like rookies playing and let him play in second half only and second quarter only. I've been a part of that.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit.
You're right.
That's some bullshit.
You're right.
And then it don't make them look no better as a coach. You still a dummy. You still don't know X's and O's because you letting the players who can play, who prove in practice they deserve, you don't even give them a shot. You got this man in the G League. How? You got James Wiseman in the G League? He's better than Zubac is playing, bro. Like, this is a lot of guys. It's like, what?
The other guards like Hanley, Hardy, he scored like 40-something last night. Like, why are these kids in the G League? Stop this shit. Stop this shit already. Like, your team ain't that good for that kid to be. He should be getting, but that's the whole theory of this, 2005, 2006, right?
Yep.
So after my rookie season, draft is coming up, right? This is where Yao Ming, Jay Will, right? Jay Will and Dunleavy right? Top three. Golden State tells me, there's like, I remember Otis, he was like, yeah, we're trying to get the number two pick. We need a guard. I am the point guard. What are you talking about? I'm rookie of the month. So like, right? I'm rookie. I was rookie of the month at the end. This is what I left with, you know? And then it was like, yeah, but he's the number two pick. So I said, what if I beat him out? What if he can't beat me? They was like, he's the number two pick. Mm. No, that's cool. But if he's not better than me, he gets in front of me. They said, with the number two pick in the NBA draft, he automatically gets the starting position. And I said, even if he's not better than me, I said, how do I keep my spot? They said, you're going to have to triple his production.
Mm. Not double. You got to triple.
It has to be such a distance. And he said this, even with a distance, you're still splitting time.
Number two pick.
Number two pick.
Is that more ego shit? Because they feel like they're going to look bad? Because for me, it'd be like, look, we got to steal with Gil. I don't give a fuck number two, whatever you do.
Think about this. It's like, it's business, but for Hooper, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. If I make $500,000 and he makes $20 million, my talent has no... He getting on that court. I'm putting my $20 million in.
100%. I had that conversation. rookie transition program, the RTP shit that we have, every rookie has to go through it, right? So Dante was speaking at ours, and Dante got up there, and it was after his rookie year. And he said that, he said, I don't know, y'all think it's sweet up here, but y'all gonna go through some shit that's gonna bother you a lot. Mm. He said, you're gonna be kicking that dude's ass that's in front of you. You're going to be kicking his every single practice. You're going to be smoking him. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to see the floor. And everybody laughing, but he's straight face like, y'all think I'm playing? Like, you're going to be killing and you're not going to see the floor and it's going to bother you. Uh-huh. And he was like, listen to me very carefully. He said, the reason is because that guy getting paid $15 million and you are a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
They got to pay that man. Yeah. And if he ain't on the floor, that coach is getting that earful. Coach don't want to hear that. Play the young fella or play the old fella. Whoever it is to play, that's who you play. Whoever you paying, that's who you playing.
Shit, I got hit with even one worse. Said, you killing him in practice, huh? Like, hell yeah. How much you get paid for practice? I don't know how my contract worked, but I think zero. Exactly. I don't give a what you do to him in practice. Are you gonna outplay him in the game? I was like, if you give me some time. Nah. He said, who you think you're better than gets played to perform in a game. You here to do whatever you wanna do in practice. And I'm sitting here like, I got depressed. Like, I ain't gonna never crack.
I didn't know how to take it my rookie year because a lot of people don't know. We didn't come up in the YouTube era, so it ain't a lot of, like the low level stats that can come up or highlights, but like I used to run the second quarter. Like the second quarter was mine. It's every single team, right? Because I had to go against up. You guys were like, every two guard in the league was stacked. Mm-hmm. So it was a hard night for me regardless whenever I got in. But when I got in against y'all second unit, whatever team, it was lunchtime. I knew I had my night, or whoever I had in the starter, I knew I had, but whoever was on that bench, lights out. So the second quarter was my quarter. Mm-hmm. And the coaches would hate to call my number because I was so efficient with the points per minute. Like, I had to get mine off.
I
knew, like, if I wasn't gonna play the second half, I was only gonna play the second quarter. So at one point, I averaged like 12 points for the second quarter. And that was like 2006.
Dude, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
how does that not register? If he's scoring 12 points in a quarter.
Dwayne Casey was brand new as a head coach coming from under Nate McMillan.
I hate them.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he had the old school mentality. And KG kind of bought into that shit, kind of pissed me off too, because he didn't trust me, right?
Yeah.
And he wanted to, but I wasn't spree. He needed another spree, right? But I had the talent, but I was just young. He's like, I can't trust this young nigga. And Wally, you know,
he was a Zerbiak.
Wally, you know, he wanted to chase through. He was Clay before Clay.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Clay.
Like, man, people don't know Wally was Clay before Clay. So for me to get, he will take it out your hand and shoot it. Like, and so I had to find, when I was finding my niche and like really like tickets started to see, and everybody started, Dwayne Casey just didn't know what to do, right? He didn't believe in rookies. He didn't, it wasn't nothing about that. He was trying to get his thing with tickets. So it was like, once you get that coach that don't understand how it is to be a player, like, you can help the team win down the stretch, and we get stuck down the stretch because you got Trent Houston in the game. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you giving up another 12 points just because you want, like, you know, you want to make sure ticket is good because Trenton is tickets, man, and Trenton is a defensive stopper, but not really, you know what I'm saying?
I love these. I'm just
going to He was my, listen, comments. He was drafted in front of me.
Sorry, Trenton? I already know you got issues.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I already know
Trent
you got
had game, man. He was all right, man.
I mean, everybody
he wasn't no goddamn Gilbert. No,
but that's what I'm saying.
Who's no goddamn Gilbert
but
now?
But you know me, it's like, you're good in, up until a certain point in the game, then you're actually, you're not as valuable as you thought you were.
Right.
Like a straight defensive player, right? Just, they can't put the ball in the basket. They have no interest in putting the ball in the basket. When the last 5 minutes come in the game, right, why do I have you on the court to stop a pure offensive score, right? You're going to score 0 to 2 points. He's going to have 10 to 14 points. How, like, that's, I need to match his score. I need to close this gap.
Yep.
Because on defense, if I can't shoot, what the hell are you doing on defense?
Spaced out. I'm chilling.
Yeah, you're chilling.
I'm about to recharge for the second attempt.
I ain't got to guard this man right here.
Give it back.
And that's what they don't understand, that you think you're getting him tired, but you're not realizing because this man cannot score the ball, wow. he gets to rest.
Genius.
He gets the rest.
This is what he think about when he playing. Yes, like, I ain't got a guard you.
Yeah, I gotta guard you. If I want to get you tired, I need to Curry, run around, get him tired. He gonna post him up on offense. I want him to run through these screens. Let him hit some of these screens. Mm-hmm. So that's the defense. The defense is not putting him on some guy who just sits in the corner. And I ain't got to do nothing. You're guarding your own self at this point. So it's like when teams do that. Like I remember, like even with our Lakers. You got three people on there that don't shoot the ball.
Come on, man.
That means we have two offensive players playing against five defensive players. How?
Makes no sense. It's the wrong player coach, though. It's the wrong player coach, though.
You know what time it is. You got to step into the fold. Rashad, I want to ask you, how tough is that going from being the man at UNC, winning the national championship, now you got to come to the league and really try to earn it again, playing on a squad with Kevin Garnett, obviously it's his team, and trying to earn his loyalty, his trust, that you could be out there on the floor with him?
It was more winning about, you know, for me, it was how we won at Carolina and the mentality we had, right? Coming into the league and starting over, just kind of like leaving high school or college, yeah. You finding out it's kind of done a different way. You like, damn, I don't even got to do that much shit. Yeah. We ain't got to do shit. Okay, cool. Get to the league, you like, man, we got to do everything on your own. Like, you got to get your work in. Yeah. Like, it's up to you. First thing I learned was it was a man's league. So all they kept saying, it's a man's league, youngin'. Mm-hmm. Like, we ain't tolerating none of this crybaby. We ain't babysitting you. You learn the plays, you don't get them wrong, you don't play. Get your schemes right, mm-hmm. learn everything. So Ticket became the homie right away. So he took me under his wing, showed me everything. Man, I got to really let loose because of Ticket's, you know, his personality mm-hmm. is one that people don't understand, right? Because he go off on the hinges all the time. He high energy all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he told me the secret to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to, once you start something, you can't tone it down. You got to be consistent. Mm-hmm. So being able to see him react and do and talk shit and do all that, and that's how I played.
Yeah.
And so it brought a lot of that out on me. So when I checked in the game, I was bumping. What's up? Mm. Yeah, foul right here. I got my first one. I got six more. Five more. I got five more. Like, that was my whole thing. Whoever I was guarding, I wanted them to know, like, I got to make a name for myself, right? And I got to let the referees know how I'm going to play ball on the defensive side. Mm. And I got to let these dudes that's guarding me know, hey, when I'm in the game, ain't no rest for you.
Yeah, this ain't
no rest if you down here torture him, you come down here on me. Oh, what's up? It's up. I'm going at your neck. So that was always my mentality. And going from college to pro was literally like a wake-up call from basketball to business. You learn it's a business. It's not the game that you played, that you love, that you grew up. You learn that you cannot play because you don't come in here and shake this person's hand,
mm-hmm.
or you don't smile, or you're not participating in this NBA cares, or this like things that could pile up to things. It's like, well, he's not really engaging. He don't smile much. The guys really don't interact with him. So you gotta kind of play both games. You gotta be the locker room guy. You gotta be the community guy. You gotta learn what the game is being played. Because a lot of times guys will say, man, you gotta play the game.
Play the game within the game.
And you ask, what the hell is the game? And everybody give you the same answer, like, you know the game, man. You just like, no, I don't. So you wait till you 20 years down the line, and you sitting there and you looking like, so this is the game. That was the game. That's all I had to do. Shut the up. Yep. Just shut up.
No.
Just shut up and collect your bread and do your thing.
On a certain teams, right? So I remember watching your swag and attitude, right? And it's only great when you're winning, right? When you're winning, he's a winner. He's a winner. He has the winning
spirit,
attitude, mm-hmm. winning spirit. Like when you're on the losing team and you got a bunch of losers on your team, a bunch of people who don't know how to work, wow. it rubs them the wrong way.
Wow,
bro. Oh, he's just a bad attitude. He's a bad apple. He wants to come in and work early. He wants to come in and take extra shots. He telling me I ain't passing the ball enough. He telling me I ain't playing defense. I don't want to play with this guy.
What?
Think about Jimmy Butler. Bad locker room guy in Chicago. Bad locker room guy in Minnesota. Now he's a hell of a player in Miami. How? How does it change? Oh, because that's a winning program. That's what they want. That's what they want. Yes, you gotta remember, lazy don't wanna be told they lazy.
Accountability.
Then we don't wanna be accountable. I'm not even gonna lie.
Anything in life.
Listen,
anything.
Any industry. Listen,
anything.
If there's 400 players, bro, if there's 400 players, 400 don't really want to be accountable if you to try to put them accountable for something. Like if I shot the ball 30 times, I know I shot the ball 30 times. Don't tell me I shot the ball. Don't tell me I shot the ball.
I remember every 30, every single one. I remember where I shot them.
I remember I looked you up, but don't tell me I did that. You hurt my feelings. Like you, because you're making me feel like I'm human when I have this, when you feel like you goated. You gotta remember when you're in a sport, when you're in the locker room, we're animals.
Yes.
This is the jungle. So the way I walk in here, the way I talk in here, the way I move in here, I'm moving in this motherfucker a certain way for a reason. Mm. Right? So what happens is if you got a bunch of players that think they're lions, but they're really gazelles, the gazelles team up. we don't like them. Come on, we don't hang out with them because y'all don't want to work out. So why the fuck am I gonna pass y'all the ball, shake y'all hands and shit when you coming? What the fuck, dude, I ain't shaking his hand. I'm gonna look.
Oh, man.
It's not like I have a bad attitude. I know his work ethic. That work ethic. Let it keep walking. But that's
bro. Well, I gotta ask both.
Am
of
I right though?
Bro, listen.
Because this I seen
this is gospel.
No, I seen it. So I was like, yo, he has a winning attitude. Like I don't want him guarding me.
I call it prodigy shit, bro. Because only a real gamer can talk about it from that perspective. Like you've had to have had pressure on you to be able to talk about it from a perspective of I know it's on me. I know it's on me. I'm goated for a reason. I'm not the guy that's trying to be the goat. I'm trying to be the goat herder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to tell the goats where to go. Y'all follow me,
mm-hmm.
right? Be the leader of the leaders,
mm-hmm.
right? And be able to have that is like to know, like, you've been here. We've been here. We've been at the top. We always had the skill set that everybody respect. And everybody's like, hey, man, that's one of them ones. Like, he understand it.
Mm-hmm.
He understand how it's supposed to be done. You come in here and you lock in. And there's only a few of them that can actually lock in and be like, yeah, this is not only the night, but every night is the night whenever I want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the camaraderie. How does the locker room feel about that energy when you're losing? When you lose by 30 and Kobe has 60, and anybody, I feel any smile around energy in the locker room, I'm done.
Because he's not even smiling. He has 60.
He mad that we gave up.
Yeah.
Kobe like, man, they gave up too early. I could have had 90 on them if I'd have known that. Like, if I'd have known that. And I'm over here like, I only got to guard him 6 times, but he scored once. Coach, leave me in a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Let me get some more of that.
But see, that's,
I want that. I want some more of that.
See, but that's accountability.
I want to ask both of y'all. You said 400 players in the league, right? How many guys do you think are actually winners? And I'm not talking about winners by association because they play on winning teams where they're led by these go-level guys like you're talking about. What percentage of the league do you actually feel like is winners?
It's hard to really know until you get inside that locker room, because you got to remember, there's a guy who's on the last team in the NBA who can't sleep at night because of what's going on.
It's so bad.
He cringes, like it hurts. You gotta remember, you've been on a team, y'all lost by 30, then they're like, we gonna go to, I'm gonna be at the West today, meet me at the hotel. You got those guys, right? And then you got guys who's sitting there like irritated, like, but if I say something, they're going to find me. They're going to kick me off the team. You got to remember, that's a winning attitude. He's just not in a winning situation, right? So his attitude comes off bad to the rest of this group.
Absolutely.
He is getting the winner is being moved. We don't want this guy. Yeah. We want everybody here to be comfortable.
Yep.
Right? So it's really hard to know until you go into a locker room and watch a game, watch a team lose, and then look at the locker room and see what happens. Mm. Right? Because you can have a guy who's out there averaging 30. That's just his gift. He don't really give a about the winner.
He's not a winner.
That's he can win. You can be a, this winner's on championship teams. That nigga ain't no winner. He's just on a team. Was just great.
Yep.
The team was just great. He was part of the greatness of that team. But as a winner, winner is willing to get better, willing to push the mediocre guys to get better. So we would say Draymond Green is a winner. Right?
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley, that's a winner. Jimmy Butler, that's a winner. When you're talking about certain type of winning.
You know why, though? They have the veteran spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Of a real vet, right? You look at how the vets came in and they gave you their accountability, right? Young fella, you gotta play the game the right way. Don't f*** the game, you know what I'm saying? Do it right? So you got your veteran spirit. That's the Pat Beverleys, the Draymond Greens, where it's accountability first. Like, I'ma yell at you, Steph, like you should yell at me, right? Don't not yell at me because I'm the verbal one, and I'm always verbal. I took on that early on in college of being the verbal talk on defense guy. You talk on defense, everybody assume you're the leader because you're the only one talking. Nobody like to talk on defense. Nobody like, but if you're the only one, I got help, I got this. They like, he must be the guy. He talking to the refs, he talking to everybody. But that's where you assume that veteran role, that energy of, man, let me tell y'all how to do this. This is how we're going to do. We're going to huddle up. We're going to call this play before we call the play. We're going to run this shit. We're going to give it the counter to Gilbert. All right, 1, 2, 3, let's go. It's the energy. It's like everybody now, if we get down, we need to come pump us up.
Yeah.
We need that energy. That's that leadership. And every team in the NBA lack that because, one, they don't want the vets to come around and teach the game the right way. But then, two, is just the lack of accountability. When you can go out there and turn the ball over and nobody say nothing to you because of who you are, like, Durant, LeBron, Westbrook, you shouldn't have possessions where somebody go back door and you just standing there like a cinder block and then they lay that thing up and it's just like nobody saying nothing. Ain't no timeout. Y'all ain't going heavy. Yeah. Ain't nobody saying nothing.
Nothing, just like it didn't happen.
It didn't happen, but we lose by 4 and you did that twice. And then nobody saying that. We lost by 4. You got 2 bad defensive possessions. You supposed to be all defense.
Yep.
You gotta make it make sense to me. So I always look at it like the veteran spirit now is lessened because they won't let the vet stay in the game long enough to show these players the accountability. Like, yo, you gotta have discipline. You good, you talented, but you don't know how to play.
Is it because they make too much money and it's ego? So, like, you remember when Haslam and Jimmy Butler got into that
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if Haslam was on a team like the Pelicans and that was like BJ or Zion Williams? He gone.
Yeah.
No more bread for you.
Haslam gone.
Yeah.
No. Because that team ain't built like that yet.
Yep.
People don't realize, we're not talking about, see, before you got here, before you came into the NBA, my draft was the high school draft, right?
Yep.
That was the first of a group of high school. So those first 10, 12 picks, then 19. The average age is like 19 and a half, right? Before that, you're talking about 21, 22-year-old guys, 20-year-old guys coming into the NBA. So usually it was one young player on a team where that one person, right? That Kobe Bryant has to be this
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, so he has to adult fast.
Real fast.
He don't have no, he can't play the young card. When I came in, it's me, Jason Richardson, Troy Murphy. The next year, Dunleavy and Uri. So there's out of 15 guys, six of them were under the age of 20.
Man.
So that's a whole different locker room. Don't tell me shit. You can't, a veteran can't tell me shit.
Nothing.
Go get some cookies. Fuck you and them cookies.
real quick.
Right? You gotta remember, my first year, beat up. Second year, more young, you can't tell that shit. Ain't nobody getting no goddamn cookies for you, boy.
Rookie.
But that's what ends up happening. There's so many young kids in the NBA that you don't want to be a veteran.
Oh, man.
What you gonna tell them? Hey, come on, hey, young man, shut your old ass up. You already know. We did it.
But I couldn't wait to be a vet.
I know.
The way they treated me, I couldn't wait to be a vet. I was like, I can't wait to make this so much hell on the next. Ooh, you gonna hate me.
But then they deal with one of us. A hard-headed person who don't want to listen, because we didn't want to listen.
Exactly. And that's the unfortunate part about it, because it's like, I think it's something that they should go through, especially like the small hazing part, because it lets you know that the vets care. Like we care about you, young fella, but look, go get all of those balls. Go, hey, everybody kick the balls in the
face. Balls in the face.
Go get them all. Bring them back down. Go get them all. We're going to do little stuff to you to make you mad, but that's showing, that's tough love.
Yeah.
That's really what I felt from my experience was like, they accepted me once I passed the test. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, young fella ain't one of those that is gonna refuse it and make it hard on us. Like, hey, young fella, when we tell you go do something, you better go do it. We're not gonna whoop your ass or nothing, but look, we gonna blackball you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not coming with us to eat on the trips.
Bruh.
You're not getting the lobs from the big jump. Like, I got a lot of lobs for just, you know, doing my part. Like, hey, go get the condoms. Go, you know, go get the beer. Go get the pizza. Go. Yeah. All right, I got you. All ticket wanted was donuts in the morning.
Yeah.
Bring the donuts, young, and don't forget them.
He didn't even eat them.
He threw them away. He literally got them and threw them every morning.
He threw them all away.
I'm like, somebody have a donut?
No.
Can somebody have a donut?
Nobody. Hey, don't y'all touch the donuts. God damn it. Move. Throwing them shits away.
What is
wrong with you?
He gave him a responsibility. He gave him an assignment. A responsibility. I want to see if he can complete this. This is, you got to remember, there's games that we play with each other that seems like it has nothing to do with nothing, but it does. I'm giving him a job, one job, get the donuts every morning, yes, right? Sir. I want to see, if I ask him 82 times, I want to see if he does it 82 times. If he can do it 82 times, I can trust his work ethic. I can trust him.
Was it a particular donut order? Was it just a hodgepodge?
Regular glazed Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah,
in the morning. 8 a.m. Yeah. though, fresh off the joint. He knew if I cheated, I got cheated a couple times.
And they weren't warned?
No, I got them the night before.
Okay.
And the glaze dripped off of it, right? So it wasn't like fresh glaze. And he opened the box.
he opened the box and he
went crazy, man. Like, ticket is a crate, but like that. Once you pass that threshold, like, I seen that he opened up his Rolodex for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he opened up his, like, I can trust young fella, like, come to the crib. Yep. Like, we going out, you know, meet me here. Like, I'm the buddy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when you feel that, it's like, I did pass the test. I'm whatever you need, take it. I'm the little bodyguard. Yeah, I'm little Marlo with the Jones. Like, what's up? What we need? What we
but
going?
But see, people don't.
No autograph. He ain't getting no autograph. Stop. You know what I'm saying? Like,
listen, people before NBA security got into the NBA, a teammate was the bodyguard.
100%.
That's real.
Now think about it. How can I trust just any old teammate if I didn't put him through shit? How do I know he's a rider if I didn't put him through shit? So if I'm going to the club and somebody try to stick me up, is this man gonna run? I done tested him all year. I know he ain't gonna run now. Man, come on, young fella. Hey, hold my jewelry, got this bag full of money.
Man, you remember? Literally there thinking like we gotta protect Gil. Yeah. And if it ain't a we, it's a I got you. It's a, all right.
Even having no fun.
No fun. Like, literally, it's the night I'm choosing. I'm like, man, it's some bad ones in here, but I know if I'm off tilt and I miss the shot, he gonna be pissed. He ain't never gonna party with me. He never gonna call me. I gotta be on my 10 toes. Like, especially with, like, a nigga like Ticket. Like, he was always precise, strategic. Yep. You know, it was never like he wanted to be out in the public, and it was always duck off. Uh-huh. So I made sure, like, you know, I was always ahead of him, one or two steps. Like, nah, we got that. Nah, it's all good. I done already peeked a little situation. We good. I done made sure ain't nobody out here, Ticket. We good. We good. So that gave it, you know, the other sense of trust for him. Like, yo, I can show you the world now. I can show you how we do on the off season. Like, yeah, this is how you move this way. This is, you need accounts. You need to get this. You need a manager. You need, it was like, yo, that's what the NBA brotherhood that you can feel when you top tier or trying to get to that level. A lot of guys don't be understanding. They might not know my name in those lights, but I was next up. I got pushed out. So all the things that Gil know as far as being an all-star, all of the, if there's a line for that, you're putting a line and there's an expectation. Sometimes you get knocked off that line because that expectation is now out the window. It's unreachable. Mm-hmm. But at one point you was climbing that ladder and you was trying to get to that next level. And everybody that you look like, I look at CP, I look at Carmelo, these are guys in my class, Amari in my class. I'm like, man, I was right there with them. I messed it up. Mm-hmm. I'm accountable for my mistakes.